But right now it is time for Appraise This with the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack joining us, and that is Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them on the web, tqag.com, or right here live on a Tuesday morning on Robin Hood Radio. Do I have both stars on the line with me?
Yes, you do.
Present.
Are you both in the same location?
Well, technically, yes, but physically, no.
No, okay. Well, whatever that means.
He's at one end of the house. He's at one end of the house. I'm at the other because of the electronics.
Yes. Well, it's nice to have you back at your home base both together.
At least for a day.
Yes, because I fly out tomorrow, actually, to go to Vineland, New Jersey, where we'll be selling over 1,250 lots of antique toys and fun, I hope fun, things during this pre-holiday, just before Memorial Day auction that they're putting on, which should be interesting. It should be an interesting time to see where the market is and who shows up. But we have a variety of just boats, trains, toys, automobiles, and airplanes, just a bunch of different things. So a lot of transportation stuff. So it'll be interesting.
What do you think will go best?
You know, it's fascinating because a lot of it is driven by the collections and the provenance. And these are great. They have good provenance, the variety of toys in these different collections. However, the market itself, like mechanical banks, I was just looking at their catalog and their advertising. There's a particular bank, it's called the Girl Skipping Rope, and 25 years ago when I sold one at Christie's and it brought a record like $75,000. And I was thinking, I wonder what this is estimated at. And this is, they have one, it's not as in nice of condition, but it's still good. But it's still, I think it's estimated at $10,000 to $15,000. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes because, you know, one of the things that we deal with a lot, especially with not only collectors, but also with families, when families of collectors, and especially when they pass, is that they just keep thinking that things keep going up in value, where there's such a up and down. You know, it is not always, not all things continue. Depends on what's going on in the marketplace, depends on supply and demand, depends on so many different things. And so it'll be interesting. But I think what has been going well is transportation toys. Those continue to go well. And I'll be able to report back next week and I'll let you know what really is going on. But in the world of auctions, we've had a number of things. Just this last week, I think it was last weekend, over the weekend in New York City, Julian's did an auction. I wasn't there. They had several big rock and roll things. And one of the big things is they had a Kurt Cobain sweater from a final photo shoot. It was just a photo shoot sweater. It wasn't like it was used in a concert or anything. And that ended up selling for $75,000 at auction. But anything Kurt Cobain, it always just goes crazy at auction.
You know, when you talk about toys, I think back, and this is going to sound crazy. My three favorite toys growing up as a kid, one was the USS Nautilus submarine. It was a submarine that was built to scale. It was about 2 feet, 2.5 feet long. And it had a clear top, and it had the actual nuclear missiles in it and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And you could remotely, I'm 66, so this was a good 50 years ago. You could push a little button and fire missiles out. Now, they'd never allow that nowadays because, you know, the missiles, you poke your eye out. But that was my favorite toy, number one. And my brother used to get a hold of it and actually fire the missiles at me, which which was another problem.
Was this the plastic one that you had to, the kit you had to put together?
No, it was already, but mine was already put together, and it was mechanical, and you could put it on the ground, and it had little wheels, and it would and go forward. It was really pretty cool. But my second favorite thing was, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. It was the dashboard of a car. It was about, I'll say, 2.5-3 feet wide, and it had a windshield, and it had wipers, and it had a little radio. The radio worked in it, the wipers worked in it, and the steering wheel, when you turned it, lights would go left to right in the front of it. And that was that was the coolest thing in the world to me. And I wonder
what I remember that as well, Marshall. I do. I just
remember how
I've seen that.
How if that would be collectible now, because back then those were pretty advanced toys.
They were. And I think that it was interesting that I think in one of the books that I've written, or one of our article I've written about toys, is that the toys, especially from the 60s, they replicated in miniature what was going on and citing the advancements and the different things and automobiles. People were going on trips and going on vacations and you know, the camper. I mean, I remember my parents had bought a camper, and then you'd have those in the toys too, and you would see those. One of my favorites as a kid, I had a pedal car, and it was a Mustang, red Mustang pedal car with a white steering wheel, and I remember the hubcaps even on the wheels it was great. And they even had the little lock to lock the door. I mean, even though you got in, it had a little thing for locking the door. And that was one of my favorites. And the second was another car. It was the Batmobile. And that I just loved. I just loved that thing as a kid.
It's funny.
Those
my
two favorite.
My mother got us all to share a Corvette pedal car. And like the first week we had it, my brother Mark took it up to the top of the hill. We had a paved road. And he came down in it. And, of course, everything was plastic in it, right?
Sure.
He destroyed it. He totaled it. But it was a cool car. And we always said to my mother, we wanted one with a motor in it. And she would never get us
Oh, no.
It was pedal. It was pedal or you walked. So
yes. And those, you know, was a variety, because the Batmobile that I had was plastic. The Mustang pedal car that I had was actually steel.
Wow.
And it was metal, and that thing, you know, the Batmobile, you wanted to be careful because, if you hit anything, it would kind of dent or do something. The metal one, boy, that was like a tank. you don't run over your sister, because I learned that. It does leave a mark. So that was something. But those cars and those things now, those are the things that some generation, you know, 20 years ago, it was, people were collecting that and going on. Now today, it's a whole different thing. And that's why I started by saying it'll be interesting to see what goes on in this particular auction, because there is a variety of, 1,250 toys that are going to be offered in this two-day auction, Thursday and Friday coming up. And it'll be interesting to see, like, where the market is, and looking at it through the lens of, I've been in this business going on 30 years, and let's see where the markets are today as opposed to where they were when I was in New York and prior to the internet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Now, before I get to Greg, and he's got to give us his favorite choice, before we get there, I have one question. Is this a male-dominated auction, or are there a lot of females that bid in this?
It's it's a very male-dominated.
I thought so.
As you would imagine. Yeah. It's and it has been, and I think that it's because remember, when you think back to the focus of toy makers, is primarily was male dominated, you know, because the girls had the dolls. Now, when there are dolls, antique dolls that are in the auction and put up, or teddy bears, you'll see a bigger mix, or holiday, where holiday, when we do the Christmas and Easter and all of the different holidays, that becomes a little more mixed, where you get more females that come in that area. But for the toys, you know, trains, banks, automobiles, all of that, it's a male-dominated.
All right. Now, in the final 2 minutes,
collector field.
In the final 2 minutes, Greg, what were your top two toys?
My top two toys actually belong to my cousin.
You coveted?
Yeah. My cousins lived right across the street from us growing up, and we were together virtually 24 hours a day. And they used to have their parents used to get them all of the greatest, I mean, all of the toys. Every toy that came out, they seemed to get. And one of my favorite toys actually is probably one of your favorite toys, and that is the car dashboard. Mm-hmm. And I can remember it because when the first time that it had a horn that worked,
absolutely,
it had the turn signals,
that's right,
and the windshield wipers worked. Yeah. Everything. I mean, it was they had the cutting edge. They were on the cutting edge of toys when I was growing up, and that was probably my all-time favorite toy. And my second favorite toy, I think I'm going to have to say my second favorite toy was probably, oh gosh, what? I think my second favorite toy was probably the Slinky. That was probably my second favorite toy. I could not stop watching that thing go down the stairs. Just could not figure out how that thing worked.
Yep.
And I must have had 5 Slinkies as a kid. They would get just a little bit out of kilter, you know, like if you bend them a certain way, and they wouldn't work right. So I would end up getting another one. But I think probably that, and then my third favorite toy was the Etch-a-Sketch.
Okay. I love that. I'm going to throw one last one in the last seconds. Is Tony the Pony, and Tony the Pony had his own battery. So you and my dad still has Tony the Pony in the house, but it was, you'd ride this and you put your foot down on it and it would take you around the house. And that was one of the first toys that I remember as a kid, a young kid, and would ride that thing all over the place.
All right. And also remember Silly Putty. I'm going to do as well, say Silly Putty. Oh, it used to aggravate. Putty. My father would be reading the papers. We would go up and grab the New York Times, and we'd push the Silly Putty on it. We'd get the print off and look at it and stuff like that. And it would become all paper would become all sticky, and my father would really get upset.
Just a word of advice. One word of advice. Don't ever eat Silly Putty. No. It just does not taste good.
No, it gets nice and shiny when you want to. You can make a nice Silly Putty ball and throw it at somebody.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. There was a time I just had to taste it, and
Everybody does it. It's like the clay you used to get, the baking clay where you had to taste it because the colors made it look so good. I mean,
oh, the Play-Doh.
Yeah, I eat Play-Doh all the time. That's why I'm who I am today. All right, guys. I'll speak to you next week.
Hey. Okay, have a great week.
Take care. Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.